I'm specifically this morning going to be reading out of the New International Reader's Version. So if you have like the Bible app and you can swap that up, you'll see what I'm reading and what's on the screen. Lots of great versions out there. This was just the one that I thought fit best with the message that we're looking at this morning. Further, my brothers and sisters, be joyful because you belong to the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write about some important matters to you again. If you know about them, you will have a safe path to follow. Watch out for those dogs. They are people who do evil things. When they circumcise, it is nothing more than a useless cutting of the body. But we have been truly circumcised. We serve God by the power of His Spirit. We boast about what Christ Jesus has done. We don't put our trust in who we are or what we can do. I have many reasons to trust in who I am and what I have done. Someone else may think that they have reasons to trust in these things, but I have even more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am part of the people of Israel. I am from the tribe of Benjamin. I am a pure Hebrew. As far as the law is concerned, I am a Pharisee. As far as being committed is concerned, I opposed and attacked the church. As far as keeping the law is concerned, I kept it perfectly. I thought things like that were really something great. But now I consider them to be nothing because of Christ. Even more, I consider everything to be nothing compared to knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. To know Him is worth more than anything else. Because of Him, I have lost everything. But I consider all of it to be garbage so I can know Christ better. I want to be joined to Him. Being right with God does not come from my obeying the law. It comes because I believe in Christ. It comes from God because of faith. I want to know Christ better. Yes, I want to know the power that raised Him from the dead. I want to join Him in His sufferings. I want to become like Him by sharing in His death. Then by God's grace, I will rise from the dead. I have not yet received all these things. I have not yet reached my goal. Christ Jesus took hold of me so that I could reach that goal. So I keep pushing myself forward to reach it. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I have taken hold of it yet, but here is one thing I do. I forget what is behind me. I push hard towards what is ahead of me. I push myself forward towards the goal to win the prize. God has appointed me to win it. The heavenly prize is Christ Jesus Himself. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Son Jesus and what we're reading about here, the gift of salvation through faith. We pray this morning for the message, Your message that You've prepared, and pray that I would be just Your servant delivering that message, Lord. You would get, You would be honored and glorified, and You would get the opportunity to move in people's lives today through the message. Amen. When you guys have good news, or maybe bad news too, do you all have somebody that you like to call, right? Is there that like one go-to person that you call? I think for most of us, probably our spouse, I know for me, it's Lexi. You know, something exciting happens, I want to call her right away and tell her. I know for Lexi, it's actually her grandma, it's not me. I'm the second person to know. She always calls her grandma first, tells her the big news, and then I find out. That person that you have to share those life experiences with is really something special, and that relationship is valuable. But imagine with me, right, you're not allowed to call that person anymore. Instead, there's a stranger that's been appointed to you, and you're going to need to call that stranger anytime you got. If you want to share that news with somebody, you're going to have to call that stranger and share it with them. Now, you'll give them the information, but you're probably not opening up to them in the same type of way, right? those relationships that we've cultivated through time and conversation, shared experiences, we feel comfortable being vulnerable with that individual to share that. And when we're talking to someone that we don't have that established relationship, it's hard. It's hard to do those things. But if we continue on in that, right, the more often that you would call this person and the deeper subjects you discuss, the easier it is going to be to talk about these big life items with the stranger. And eventually, you will develop a unique kinship with them. You'll get to that point by sharing your life with them. And that's what going deeper is about. That's what we'll be talking about this morning, is a relationship that moves beyond the surface level. The more time we spend with someone, the more that we share with them, the more vulnerable we become, the more we experience life together, the deeper that relationship becomes. The same is true, the relationship I'm talking about this morning, the same is true of our relationship with Jesus. Going deeper with Christ means moving from knowing about Jesus to desiring Jesus to pursuing Jesus. So look first, knowing about Christ is not the same as knowing Christ. And this is what we see at the beginning of Philippians here in that verses 1 through 8 section. Now 1 through 3 is mostly context here for us. This is Paul warning the Philippians about the teachers who are adding religious requirements to their faith in Christ. Specifically here, circumcision is one of the big ones he's been talking about. And these teachers, they're telling the new Christians, telling the Philippians, hey, Jesus is good, but Jesus is not enough. And we know that to be false. Jesus is enough. So Paul's responding, his response here is that our confidence isn't found in what we accomplish for God, but our confidence is found in Christ and what he's done for us. That verses 1 through 3 is going to set up then 4 through 8, and Paul lists his impressive religious credentials and explains why none of them compare to knowing Christ. He starts listing them there, right? He says, he has many reasons that he should be trusting. He was circumcised on the eighth day, part of the people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, pure Hebrew. He's a Pharisee as far as the law is concerned. He's very committed. He opposed and attacked the church. He kept the law perfectly. And he says something in verse 7 here, which I liked what Christina pointed out. This is a unique thing in the NIRV. It says, I thought things like that were really something great. When I read that initially, I had to pause and, you know, think, oh, that's pretty pedestrian language, right? We say that all the time, is something's great. And Christina pointed out, right, that that's something we might use all the time, but that's not really what we mean here by great. Many of you probably know this verse better as, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Same concept, slightly different translation there. Those things that we thought, that Paul thought, were something great are nothing compared to Christ. Paul isn't studying the scriptures. He isn't saying that studying scriptures or growing in knowledge is bad, right? Let's be clear on that. He's saying that none of those things compare with Christ. Paul has the knowledge, but he doesn't have Christ. A.W. Tozer has a book, The Deeper Life. And so if you've read that book, that's something that I'm going through with ordination right now. And he's got a number of interesting pieces that line up with what Philippians is saying this morning. And he says, we have stressed objective truth to the near exclusion of the subjective experience. So the problem isn't knowing too much about God. It is good to know about God. The problem is stopping there. We've put so much focus on knowing about God and knowing what truth is that we forget that we're supposed to do something with that. There's something that comes after. That subjective experience, what we do with that, how we interact with God, that's what's missing. Our Bible studies, theology, worship services, any Christian service that we do, all of those things are great, but they should be leading us somewhere. They should be leading us toward Jesus. Jesus himself actually defines this eternal life relationally in John 17, verse 3. He says, "Now this is eternal life. It is to know you, the only true God, and let them know Jesus Christ, the one you sent." He's not describing it as merely knowing the right information. He says eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. Paul really hits this home in verse 8 when he talks about all of it being garbage compared to knowing Christ better. Some of your translations might say rubbish or trash or dung. Garbage compared to knowing Christ better. He's got an impressive list of resumes. In the Jewish tradition, he would have been considered very high up, really important, well-spoken individual, and none of that matters compared to knowing more about Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Paul had the knowledge, the credentials, the religious experience, but what he wanted was Jesus himself. Just like the example I gave at the beginning, if you were to receive secondhand information about someone's life, it's not going to deepen your relationship with them, right? We could read about someone in a book or on the news or on the internet. You could get information about someone, but that does not mean that you know that individual. You have to spend time with them, trust them, talk with them. That's what makes it personal. I don't know if anyone's seen, probably heard of, right, the Left Behind book series, right, from the 90s. There's some movies in the 2000s there. So one of the main characters in that book is a pastor, Pastor Bruce Barnes, and he is one of the individuals who's left behind after the rapture. And so he walks into his church, and he realizes that All of his constituents, everyone else has been taken, right? All the people are gone, and he's been left behind. He stood up there and preached to them every Sunday. He had the knowledge about God, but he himself didn't know God. He had the ability to connect his people to God. They get up, and he's left behind. He breaks down. There's a good scene in the movie where he breaks down in the church and confesses that he had known God's word and had preached God's message, but he never truly surrendered himself to Christ. Because knowing and believing are two different things. I mean, that would be heartbreaking to being a pastor and realizing that you'd spent years telling other people about Jesus, but you didn't actually know him the way that you thought you did. So for us, Bible study, church attendance, Christian service, right? Those are all great things. And they are meant to lead us towards Christ, but not to become substitutes for Christ. And don't hear what I'm not saying, right? The goal isn't to know less about God. The goal is for what we know about God to lead us into knowing God himself. So we can't stop at the information. When you read your Bible, don't just ask, what did I learn today? You should ask, what did this show me about Jesus? And when we pray, don't just bring requests to God. Spend some time with him. And when we serve, don't allow the ministry to replace your relationship with the one you're serving. Tozer says, knowledge is indispensable, but not sufficient. Now, if that's what Paul wants for us, then the question becomes, how badly do I want that? Because going deeper is a desire to know Christ personally. Verses 9 through 11 here in Philippians chapter 3 reveal that. We look at verse 9. Paul says, he says, I want to be joined to him. He wants to be in a relationship. That's what that joined means there. And it's not about following the law, but it is about his faith in Christ. It begins here with a recognition of Christ as the source of his relationship to God. It comes because I believe in Christ. It comes from God because of faith, is what Paul writes. Verse 10 really is the crux of this whole message here. He says, I want to know Christ better. If you have a different translation, ESV says, that I may know him. That's the key phrase out of the whole passage here, that I may know him. Know the power of the resurrection, God's power, to share in his sufferings, to walk alongside him through the good and the bad, to have that relationship that flourishes with vulnerability in all circumstances. Paul is essentially saying here, I've experienced Christ, I've served Christ, I've suffered for Christ, I've learned about Christ, and I still want to know him better. And that holds very true for myself. I love studying. I could spend hours, you know, reading through a commentary or digging into some of the word meanings. I love to get some more knowledge about God. And sometimes I become so focused on that aspect of it that I forget that the whole purpose of his word is to help me know him. It's not just about gaining that head knowledge. Tozer, in his book, calls this the cult of textuality. He says, the Bible is not the problem. The problem is when my study of the Bible stops at information and doesn't lead me into communion with the God who gave it. In verse 11, Paul's going to bridge the gap here by saying, the ultimate hope and resurrection and life is with Christ. Even his pursuit of Christ isn't about earning something from God. The deeper life is completely dependent upon Christ, not us. My mom is pretty into gardening, right? And when we were growing up, we had a big garden out in the backyard and grew all kinds of vegetables. It was really nice to just go out there and pick those things. Now, when we moved, right, we get to a place where the soil in the backyard, it's basically like a marshland. This is not farming land. So then you got to switch to one of those raised beds, right? And she'd already been gardening for a while. She knew exactly what you needed, right? You got that combination of water, sunlight, even the soil composition is important. And you get that all together into that raised bed. And she got that first year. She got some results. We had some things, but they were small. You know, little tomatoes on there. We didn't get anything that was too large. And it turns out the problem is she only put about 2 inches of soil at the bottom of that raised bed. That's not enough. There's no room for any roots to grow. That depth will determine the stability and growth of the plants, just like it will for us in our relationship with Christ. We can have all of the right things going on. We could have put in the proper amount of Bible reading and church attendance and service and activities. We can have all of those things there and still have a shallow relationship with Christ. So how do we deepen that relationship? We can slow down when we're reading Scripture. Ask, what is God showing me about himself? That praying beyond requests, right? Spending time with God, talking about who he is, responding to what you're learning about him, creating that space where every moment doesn't have to be filled with entertainment or noise or distraction. We're very good at that. Fill every moment of the day up. We don't leave any time for God to speak to us or to have that desire to cultivate that relationship with God. We need to respond when God speaks. That desire grows when we act on what God is showing us. Another quote from Tozer's book, specifically about the American church, he says, our trouble is a strong lack of desire. And it's not going to become deeper simply because we want it to. We're going to have to pursue it. A strong desire for God changes the way that we live. We see this in verses 12 through 14. Paul says, I have not yet received all these things. I have not yet reached my goal. He keeps moving forward to take hold of it. Why? Because Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. By pushing forward, he means to continue to pursue his relationship with Christ. Back to that I may know him. Paul is saying, because Christ has already taken hold of you, pursue him. And there's a continuous pushing towards that goal that we see in verse 13. Paul refuses to rest on what he's already accomplished. He doesn't look backward and say, I've done enough. He keeps pushing forward, keeps moving toward the goal. At this point in time of writing Philippians, he's already had a very successful career as an apostle, evangelist. He doesn't rest on that. He knows that he needs to keep pushing towards the goal. Pushing hard will take time, energy, and intentionality. And the goal itself, right, in verse 14, I am moving toward the goal to win the prize. He's moving toward something, not wandering aimlessly. His pursuit has a direction. He has a goal in front of him, and he refuses to stop moving towards it. Going deeper with Christ means that our lives increasingly have a direction toward Christ. And a strong desire for Christ doesn't just give us more passion, it gives our life direction. Anybody have something that's a strong desire for you, right? And you get, kids a lot of times have a job that they want to do, right? I want to become a doctor. Got a strong desire to become a doctor. Well, what your strong desire is will eventually shape what you're willing to do, right? If that kid really has a strong desire to become a doctor, he's going to be willing to put in the years of study, sacrifice, preparation. It's going to be a hard road for him. We have a strong desire to have a baby, and so that's changed some priorities in our life. The things that we're doing, we got to center it around that. For many people, it's owning a home. You're going to need to change some things. You can't eat out every night, right? The finances have to change. Even losing weight is probably the biggest one that I think of. That's many people's strong desire, and sometimes I question how strong of a desire, right? You can say, I desire to lose weight. But if you're not making any kind of changes to your life, what you eat, how much you exercise, is that really a strong desire that you have? Desire produces action. If I genuinely desire to know Christ more, that desire will show up in my life. It will show up in my time. I'll be making that intentional time with Jesus. Not merely church attendance or, for myself, sermon preparation even. It needs to go beyond that, time with Jesus. It will show up in my priorities. If I genuinely desire to know Christ more, I will order my decisions around what matters to Christ and not what matters to me. It will show up in my obedience. When Scripture or the Holy Spirit reveals something that needs to change in my life, I'll respond to it instead of simply acknowledging it. Not just, I hear you, God. Yep, you're right. That needs to change. Doing something about it. Genuine desire produces action. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying again, right? We don't work for salvation. Salvation is a free gift received through faith. We've been saved by Christ. What Paul's telling us is now that we have been saved, we should pursue Christ. We don't work for salvation, we work from salvation. Now, a few weeks ago, the message was on 2 feet, right? Putting both feet into the boat with Jesus. We talked about making the decision to stop holding things back from God. I want to challenge you that getting into the boat is not the end of the journey. Right? We can have both feet in the boat and still just sit on the water's edge. We could never leave the shallow water. We could stay right there. But Paul shows us what happens next here. Once we're in the boat, it should inspire us to say, I want to know Christ better. Going deeper means pursuing the one we have already committed ourselves to. Know Christ. Desire Christ. Pursue Christ. And if you were honest about your relationship with Jesus today, would you say that it's growing deeper, or are you just staying where you are? I'm going to challenge you this week, and if you haven't already, right? And maybe some of you this time needs to go up, but if you're not already spending this time with Jesus to go deeper, 15 minutes would be my challenge. If you are already, maybe just push that up a little bit. But not for studying, but for intentionally being with him. So as you spend time in prayer, especially as you read your Bible, ask yourself, what does this show me about Jesus? What is Jesus showing me about myself? And how is he asking me to respond? God's word is living and active. We should interact with it. That is how we grow deeper in that relationship with Christ. Going deeper means knowing Christ, desiring Christ, and pursuing Christ. Where are you today? Are you simply learning about Jesus? Do you have a desire to know him more? And is that desire to know him more changing the way that you live? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for myself and for everyone here that we would strongly desire that relationship with you, that we would chase after you. Lord, that you would put that desire into our hearts and that it would go beyond just our minds and the knowledge, but into a transformation. Lord, I pray for quietness, the stillness needed to really connect with you, that we would be able to find you, to sit in that space with you this week. Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us that gift of salvation. Let us not stop there. Let that inspire us to continue to know you, to desire you, to pursue you this week and throughout our lives. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.